Live from the space station Mir and brought to you by Boeing. Forever New Frontiers. Boeing. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
This is episode 9 now, and still we are playing not our theme music, Allie. And why is this?
Well, I consulted the Magic 8 Ball for help, but it said, cannot predict now.
This is such a huge failure to launch, Allie. But I don't have time to deal with this, and neither do you. Because we have a lot to get to during this episode. We've been receiving a ton of emails. We got some stuff we want to talk about, the upcoming server mergers. And I think this is an Are You Smarter Than a Delmon week, is it not?
It certainly is.
So let's dive right in and let's first jump on what have we been doing since our last episode?
It seems like a really long time, doesn't it?
It seems for like a forever.
I think it has been forever. Well, I'm knee deep in fabric. I am working on the Scavenator costume for Halloween, which I have one more week to finish it up.
And how's that coming along?
Coming along pretty well. The cramped parts that you would recognize that I have done are the claws, and the body is pretty much done.
And is the wearer of the costume excited about it?
Yes, he's very, very excited. He makes a little clacking sound when he puts on the claws, and he told me the other day that he has to walk sideways.
Much like a real crab does. Excellent.
I thought that was really cute, so.
That is really cute.
What's Del been up to?
Del's been up to more of the same, really. I think since we last talked about this, more repetitive raiding. Although I have to say, there is some light at the end of that tunnel. We have been getting up to 4 full groups recently. So we've been doing some hard mode encounters, specifically Malice there in the Palace of Rowanthir. So we've been working hard at that. Haven't been successful at getting him down. But we're getting better. We are, I think... The learning curve that we often talk about on some of these encounters is getting better, so each pull is a little better, a little bit better, and that's positive. Other than that, you know, I haven't done the Night of the Dead stuff. I've been a little slacking there, and I do need to fix that. And I have been working on more achievements. Got the mount one the other day, and I'm right now, during some downtime, mass slaughtering Ravisex up there in Kingdom of Sky to get my Slayer of Ravisex title.
Cool. So,
yeah, not all that exciting. Kind of a little bit more of the same. Definitely enjoying some of the new UI features, that currency tab, the mount tab, the new achievements that came along with that. So nothing outstanding, nothing great. A little bit more of the same, I think.
Well, you say you've been doing hard mode Malice.
Yes.
You have actually full groups?
We have, over the past, say, week or so, we've been able to muster 4 full groups, which has been very exciting.
That's good.
Yeah, it has been. It's a little bit of a downer when you sign on, you only got 3 groups, you're like, ugh, here we go again. This means we're just going to be kind of killing the same stuff over and over again, and that becomes monotonous. I am excited by the hard mode stuff. We haven't been able to beat it, and that's frustrating, too. Certainly these hard modes, I will say, they are a definite step up. They're not just mobs that hit harder. There are mechanics that come faster. There are more... And more harder, I guess if that's a good word, more harder fail conditions, more harsher fail conditions, perhaps. So there's a lot less room for error and a lot less chance to recover. One little slip-up can be fatal. And we've hit those, but we're working on it. Cure cursing, have to say, much better, I think, since the change to that, where if a player cures a curse and somebody else has their cure curse running, it doesn't consume theirs as well. I have to say that is a huge improvement to the game from a healer's point of view. It has taken a lot of the stress of cure rotations off of us, because if we do double up and both click it at the same time, whoever gets there first, you know, cures it, and the other person can continue to use theirs on the next one. Cure cursing is such a I don't want to say hardcore because that's not the right word, but it's such a harsh mechanic. It was very unforgiving before. If you clicked it and they didn't have a curse on them, it still consumed it. And that has a long cooldown and a long recast time on it. So I think that's been one of the better improvements we've seen over the game recently. And it has certainly made some of these hard mode encounters a little bit easier and a little less stressful from a healer point of view. And I do like that. Still haven't beaten it, but we're working on it. And we're getting better at it every pull.
Well, that's good.
So we did also have a lot of email feedback between our last show and this one, didn't we?
We sure did.
So do we want to dive into that right now?
Yeah, because, you know, I think all six of our listeners wrote to us this week.
And some of them more than once, which is exciting, too. So I have the first one here, so let me read this one. This one is from Indebuff. Again, love that name. From the Nectalof server. And Indebuff writes, "Hello again. Just finished listening to your latest program, and on your last show, when the whole newbie project idea was launched, I have to say I was a little skeptical about how you would pull it off. And now I'm convinced that you have found a new way to give newbie a whole new meaning." Not really sure what that means. "As I have said previously, I have been playing less than a year, so still really new to me. And the first few hours, well, actually, as soon as I realized there was such as a thing as I had a house, I admire you trying to stick to the path, but doubt many actually do that. Let's be honest here. New players are all over Halas long before the 20s. I would try to stay away from sweeping generalizations such as everyone just wants to run around and kill stuff. Sure, that's what you do in any MMO, but this game had houses, and even more of a crafting system that lets you make stuff for those houses. When I found out that killing stuff was only a means to get some money and some levels, what is so wonderful about this game is that I can really enjoy it in a totally different way than my hubby does. He, by the way, wants to run around and kill stuff. I had just come off a few years raiding on WoW, and it was great to have a game with so many other things to do than just gear and raid. Have to say, Allie, totally agree with you on dumbing down the game. It's the depth and the complexities that make this game special. Heck, how many games out there still have people playing it after 10 years and still say they are loving the game? I have only been gaming a bit over 10 years total, but I have never found anything close to the loyalty that this game endears. Please keep the depth and the mystery. Sure, some may whine that it's too hard, but when those are the types that play a game for a few months and then move on. When you pull away the depth, you leave a game that you level, gear, raid, and move on to the next game on the market. Leave this game as it should be, a home and a world to figure out, discover, and fumble through at times. Is what makes the successes that you have in game mean something. This is getting a bit long, but I do have my wall moment I remember well. Hubby and I played together for the most part, so even before they removed all the heroic mobs around, we did pretty well on just whatever gear and spell upgrades we came across. There were mobs that kicked our butts, but for the most part, we would just move on if there was no real reason we felt to keep trying. Then we got to Sinking Sands and the Carpet Mount quest. We rolled through the first parts of it, and then had to kill this guy in town, and to our surprise, got squished like bugs. It was the first time since I had started playing, I actually sat down and looked at gear and spells. Well, after a bit of reading, shopping, and a game plan, we took him down, as well as the final named guy, and got our carpets. We also happened to pick up a good pair to quest with Hubby being a pally and I a wizard. Lastly, I don't know if you follow the test realm or not. I didn't until a week or so ago when I saw a post in the forums about new outdoor spaces being added to some of the houses. I have to say, the new additions to the houses are fantastic. Del, there was something about Click to Cure mentioned in the test notes as well. You may want to look those over. Smiley face. Not to mention the latest with the mounts and currency tabs are very nice indeed. Still not sure how you can unring the bell and play as a new player, but have to give you guys credit for working so hard at it. By the way, us real noobs just wing it for the most part." Signed, Indebuff.
Well, she had some really awesome points. One of the things she says is, "I would try to stay away from sweeping generalizations." I totally agree. 100%.
That's true, but it is hard at times.
It is. And if you, people who know me know that I have a tendency to exaggerate and make generalizations. Maybe that's something we can overlook on Allie's short list of character flaws.
Absolutely. and I think Indebuff makes a good point about unringing the bell.
Mm-hmm. I love that phrase.
That is a great phrase, and it was actually the subject of her email as well. You're right. I don't think we can unring the bell of us being experienced players and become newbies. We just don't have the ability to, say, switch off our brains and forget all that knowledge we have. You know, to run forward, I know it's the arrow key. You know, maybe a brand new player doesn't necessarily know that right off the bat. So it's hard to get rid of all that sort of stuff and all the other components and mechanics that we just take for granted in-game that are second nature to us. But we did try, and I think you make a point. We cannot completely forget that stuff and start brand new all over again.
But we can certainly put ourselves in the shoes of a new player to get that perspective. And I think that's one of the things we were trying to do with this experiment, because we got some feedback that we were maybe talking a little bit too much about areas of the game that some of our listeners weren't familiar with. So we sort of wanted to be, you know, open our minds to other things that we're not familiar with, and give our take on it. And the only way to do that is to make the attempt to try to do the new player experience and just give our perspective on that. Certainly, it's not going to be a newbie experience, but we can do the best we can.
So do you want to take the next email?
Sure. And actually, it is also from Indebuff of the Nectalis server. And I believe it was written the same, maybe an hour later, hour and a half, which I think is really cute. Okay, I can't believe I'm writing again, but listen to your program again when hubby got home from work. And I think the reasons for the new players not knowing their classes is more about lack of players than lack of knowledge, lack of challenge, rather. Now, I may be new to EQ2, but not the whole raid thing. The way you really learn your tune is by running group instances. You can solo all, and even if it's challenging, you'll still not be learning what skills you need to play in group. I have a level 80 warden, and she has never healed in a group. I'm just now getting to a level where I will be wanted to heal. But having had no experience healing groups, I'm not comfortable with doing so at this late point. I have, though, developed some pretty good tanking skills on her, which I thought was very cute. What little opportunity I've had to group with others almost always involves one or two members that are of high level and mentored down. As you know, this makes the run a cakewalk, and you spend more time just trying to keep up than actually fighting. I have thought a great deal about this, and there really is no way to have that experience in a game that has been around this long. There will always be those who mentor down in groups, and there will always be those who are geared to the max at lower levels because they have established tunes that can support that. Even on the extended server, I have found this to be the case most of the time. I've grouped there several times, and each was just rolling through the instance with no challenge. There are many live server players over there, and what can I say? Sometimes you can help too much. So I guess not wanting to be pessimistic, but really it's just the realist in me that the ship has sailed for the new player in this game. Even if you limited a server to only new tune creations, you would still have the knowledge and the step-by-step of those that have been playing for a long time. I don't think mergers will help the new players either, as it will just give all the high levels a raid base again, and while that's great for them, will change nothing for us. I guess I hope for mercenaries. Never thought I would say that. Say it, given how they killed group play in Guild Wars, but I see it as the only chance a player like me will be able to feel some of the challenge in the earlier instances, as right now the only real group experience is an endgame one. Signed, in the buff. Did you have any thoughts on that one, Tel?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, Indebuff makes some really good points. I'll pick up on one that kind of stuck out to me was the concept of mercenaries. I do agree that those are something that can be great for a game, but can also be a crutch and lead to the end of group play. And I think that's a challenge for EverQuest 2 right now, where, you know, it is an MMO, it's a massively multiplayer game, but a lot of players seem to be sticking to themselves, which is okay, but it leads to a challenge of the solo player wanting to be able to complete group content and group rewards without grouping. And I think that can be a challenge, and I agree that we're going to talk, I think, a little bit about this later. I don't know if necessarily server mergers are the cure-all, end-all for that problem.
before you go too far, mercenaries, can you explain that to me and maybe other people who aren't familiar with that concept?
Sure. It's a kind of real simple concept. What it is, you know, when you get on, you can go to an NPC and hire, and I kind of put that in quotes depending on how the game mechanic works for it, hire NPCs to join your group to fill out roles for you. So you'll buy a rent an NPC that has high DPS, or you can rent an NPC that will heal, and or one that can tank, depending on what you are and what you need to complement yourself with. So you're able to do group content with the computer, the NPC, the AI, running the other members of the group. There aren't real people in them. It gives a soloer the ability to do some of the heroic content without being grouped with anybody. They just group with NPCs.
Mm. Interesting.
It's a double-edged sword.
I agree. It seems like a really foreign... I've never heard of this before. I haven't played Guild Wars or any of those other games, so... but it just seems sort of counter to the whole point of EQ2, which is it is an MMO, and if you want solo play, maybe you should be playing a different game. This particular listener isn't referring to wanting to play a solo game. This particular listener is saying, essentially, there isn't anyone to group with at this level, and except for people who blow through the content because they have high level tunes, which is unfun.
Well, I think it's a very hard thing for SOE to cater to all the types of play styles, with giving emphasis to endgame because that's probably where the bulk of their player base is, but not ignoring that 20 through 70 range. Assuming everybody goes, we're assuming, and this is an assumption, that folks go 1 through 20 kind of solo. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I are doing it together in our newbie experiment, but a lot of times people just do it by themselves. Then they get out of those newbie areas, the Gorwins, the Greater Faedarks, and the... Or Tamora's Deep, not Gorwin. Tamora's Deep, Greater Faedark, and Frostfang Sea. And then they start hitting into content that has been designed back in the, if you want to say again, old school days of EQ2, where everything isn't down arrow. And everything isn't a simple solo, kill one of these and then run back type encounter. Mm-hmm. Now you start running into dungeons and that sort of stuff where you can get yourself trapped in there. There's not a lot of players who are necessary at that level. I mean, how often, I don't see it a lot. Maybe there is out there. How many often do you see people saying, looking to fill out a complete group of level 30s to do runny eye? I don't think you see a lot of that anymore.
Well, no, you don't. There's so much content, and it's possible to completely avoid grouping if you want to. For me, I think I knew a bunch of people, but they kind of like passed me in levels and, because I was sidetracked by things like harvesting and house, you know, just looking at like, I don't know, I don't remember what it was, but those people went on to continue the path as a group, and I found solo content to keep me busy, and basically I ended up a little bit behind everybody, but it wasn't for a while that I ran into content that required a group. It is possible to avoid that content now because there is so much content. There's so much solo content to keep you busy if you can't find a group. So I think people group up when they are forced to by the content. But if you're not forced to, if there is another path of less resistance, that if it's 11 o'clock at night and the server is pretty dead and there's really no one to group with, you'll take that path of lesser resistance to continue with your gameplay, if that makes sense.
It does, it does. And I would narrow maybe your definition of content a little smaller. I think people group because they're forced to, because they want the reward. I don't think they necessarily want to do the content grouped. I think they just want the rewards that come with doing the content that way. I think, you know, there's always been this architecture of the game of the raid end. The raiding content is the top level gear. Then you have your heroic content, which is the middle tier reward gear system, and then the solo. that because based on the concept of, well, it took 24 people to accomplish this goal, well, then the reward should show that 24 people worked together to accomplish it. And, you know, and as you come down that stack to six and then potentially one or two. So the rewards are given for the more complex encounters as greater rewards. So I think people want those. They just necessarily want to get it in a different way. And I think you're right in that back in the day, if we can take a giant step, back in the day, when you first stepped outside your city and you landed in Common Lands and Antonica, and that's where the two basic next zones were after the cities, it was all heroic content. Not all, vast majority, let's say 95% of it was heroic content. You needed a group to do those. You needed the groups just to level. And as you say today, you're right. You can now go 0 to 90 completely solo and never group with anybody. And it is possible. You could have done that as well back on day one, back in 2004. But it was incredibly painful. It would have taken you forever. Now there is a much friendlier path to doing that. So more folks are able to do it on their demand, on their time, on their schedule, because there is such a huge amount of soloable content that didn't exist back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the path is easier. It was always there, but today it is a gazillion times easier to do than it ever was before.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of that is simply because there are more levels. So the hard stuff is later on. You know, you can't make it all triple up all the time. Really?
No, but you say if you think back recently when they revamped, say, like KOS. Up until many months ago, KOS was a lot of that. It was a lot of triple up.
Mm-hmm.
It required a lot of dungeon crawling. Well, now that you have that flying, is it Flying Cloud quest line?
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty soloable for the most part. Now, I think there are a few places where it does get a little trickier to do that. But for the most part, you can get through that by yourself.
Right.
So, you know, there was an expansion up until recently that did require grouping to some degree. And now they have inserted a solo path to get through that content.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to go back to this email because she makes an excellent point. The way you learn your tune is by running group instances. That is 1,000,000% true. You cannot really learn how to, quote unquote, play your tune in a setting other than solo if you only solo. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You will not be pushed to learning the ins and outs of every single spell or every single combat art, the timing of this cure, this heal versus, you know, group heal versus solo heal, and what other people are going to do. You know, when you're driving and you're in one lane and you know, based on your life of driving, that this guy over in the right-hand lane is about to cut in front of you. And you know that. It's not that you can read minds. You just know that. Well, as an experienced player in a group, you know that when there's a ranger in your group or a wizard, and based on how they have played up till now or tendencies in general of those classes, maybe it's just the players who play those classes or the tools at their disposal or the mechanics of the way things work together, you know one of those people is probably going to pull aggro, and you watch their health and you maybe are prepared for it. These are types of things that you learn in a group, and you just simply don't get that in a solo environment. So you really can't learn to play your character I don't want to necessarily say to the maximum, but in and out. You don't really know how to play your character 100% unless you group or raid.
Absolutely. And let's put this in game context too, because I think we can. Just last night we were doing the noobs again. And we've moved into Butcher Block, a step up from Frostfang Sea, obviously, and we died. We finally died.
Yes, and, we did finally die.
And
first time.
let me even point a finger at myself. You died. I ran away.
Yes.
Then
you died later.
I died in one of the next few polls we did, absolutely. And the first question I asked you right after that was, well, do you think we hit our wall? You know, our perfect streak is gone. And the reason why I think I died at least the second time, the first time you died, because I think we overestimated our target, or underestimated our target, excuse me, and overestimated ourselves. The second time was we just pulled too many darn mobs on top of ourselves, and we don't have a healer, so we're just getting hit as we're trying to nuke them down. And you turned to me and said, don't you have any group mezzes? And my response was, I don't know. You know, here we are level in our mid to high 20s, and I still don't know if I have a group mez. I assume I do. I wouldn't know which icon it was. So in that scenario, we probably could have lived if Dell knew how to mez these targets and keep them from hitting at us. Instead, because we went through Phosphang C with just nuke, 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 and mobs fell over at us, That's all I knew how to do, and that's all I kept doing. I'm still running up and whacking them with my staff.
Right.
As a cloth-wearing coercer. This is an example, I think, of, even though we're a group, you know, there's only two of us. It's not like we're a fully decked-out six-person group, so we are kind of solo. But it's a combination of the content leading you down this hack-and-slash methodology versus, over that time, I haven't learned that, of how to be a coercer, how a coercer is probably supposed to not do that sort of thing.
Right.
So it's a combination of the content was so easy, I didn't have to do it. And now all of a sudden we've reached that where it is getting a lot harder. And I have to now start reading my spell buttons and lining them up on the hotbar and putting them together, putting all the nukes in one section and putting all the mezzes in another and that sort of thing. I have to learn how to play my class now.
Right. Okay. So I guess I'm going to put a little caveat on the whole wall concept. For me, when I referred to the wall in the previous show, I was actually referring to its real wall where you just can't get past it. You have reached your limit of being able to progress in the game at all. Now, maybe that's not even an option anymore because there are so many paths to follow. But for me, way back when, on the beaches of Thundering Steps, I actually hit this wall and I was ready to quit the game. Because I was so frustrated that I couldn't kill these stupid crabs and they were taking me out. It would take me down to a sliver of health. And that's what made me go, you know, I thought this can't be. This can't be that I have to find a group to kill these ridiculous crabs on the beach. They're not even named mobs. So that's what made me investigate further what a ranger really is all about. And that was in my 20s. I feel like we're not even at that yet. I feel like when the wall hit, it wasn't really a wall. It was more of a fence or a gate, if you will, that's easily opened because all you have to do is read your spells.
Well, as well, for the first time last night, too, we had to stop and rest.
Yes, but that's not the wall I'm referring to. I'm referring to where you actually are doing everything that you feel in your capacity that you know how to do, and you're still unable to progress in the content. We have not reached that by any stretch of the imagination. We haven't even read all of our spells and combat arts, to be honest.
I would argue, at least I have. I would say...
No, you haven't. You're so full of crap. Because you know why? You said, I don't even know if I have a mez. What does it look like? And I said, well, it might look like this. And you moused over it, and it said, mesmerize? And I said, yeah, mesmerize. That's a mez.
Well,
you didn't know that. So I don't even want to hear this. I did read my spells. You're full of crap.
No, I'm not saying I did read my spells. I'm agreeing. But I'm getting to that point where now I have to. That's the point I'm making is, yes, I've reached a wall because, yes, I've gotten to the point where I can't rely on that one or two nukes and auto attack anymore.
That's not the wall I was referring to in the last show.
And you're right. I'm not saying that the content last night was insurmountable. All of a sudden, it did start to become a slight uphill incline.
Yes.
Where we didn't just run up and whack things. Where mobs all of a sudden were more powerful than we had been used to. And capable of taking us to 20% of our lives.
Right.
And then we had to stand around and wait to heal. Now, granted, that's not a sliver. But it's something that we were not experiencing the game session before when we finished up Frostfang C. all of a sudden there has been a definite step up in what is going to take for us to be successful in Butcher Block as opposed to in Frostfang.
But I will this. I definitely feel like I do not know the assassin at level 27 like I knew my ranger at level 20.
Well,
so,
in fairness, though, no. Back when you played your ranger, how many hours do you think it took you to get to level 20 as your ranger?
A lot.
We've done this in less than, and I think in one of our future emails, somebody's going to call us on it. We're in our mid to high 20s after 10 hours of playtime.
Yeah, something like that. It's more like 12, but whatever.
Oh, fair enough. But I would say it's probably on the order of magnitude of 3 times or maybe 4 times faster than it ever was before.
Right, but that's just the game having changed. I guess I'm trying to draw a comparison here and really say, you know, that bar has moved over time. And I feel like it's moved more than just proportionally with the level cap increase. It's moved because of other things. That's my contention. Other things being game changes. Anyway, we need to move on because otherwise...
Let's give a quick thank you to Indabuff for getting us fired up only after one round of emails.
Yes, and for being such a great listener with great feedback.
Absolutely.
We really do appreciate it.
Let's move to the next one here. And this one is from Sprouts on the Freeport server, which is the free-to-play server. So Sprouts says, hello, great podcast. Although I think your new noob experiment is a little lacking, and understandably so. You had a discussion on what a noob would do about bag space. Well, I think you're both right. On one hand, a noob doesn't know what they will need money for, so they are less likely to spend a large amount of silver on bags. On the other hand, they don't know what they need, so they don't want to agonize over what to sell and what to keep. So maybe buying bags is a good idea. Everything for a noob is important. Until they find out that it is not. You won't make noob mistakes either, like only doing one quest at a time. Most noobs won't pick up every quest they see. They will want to complete the one quest that they are on and then pick up a new quest. But by then, they may have missed out on some of the quests because they have moved on further down the path. And if they do come back and do those quests that they have passed by, they might be gray now. So they won't get any XP for the quests, but they'll do it because they need the coin and items. Anyway, I'm a bit of a hybrid dude. I played UO for a few years and played EQ for a short while. Both my characters on EQ made it to level 15-ish before I quit. That game is brutal. So I have some knowledge of how some things in EQ2 work, unlike a complete noob. I've been without an MMO for a while, and all of a sudden SOE offers up EQ2 for free. And long story short, I'm hooked. I have 2 silver accounts. I know, I'm one of those evil extended players. Although, other than the membership and the 10 broker coins, I've yet to buy anything else. And I never buy gear or potions to further my characters. That's cheating in my book. So I'm only half evil. And I'll interject, fair enough. I've been listening to your noob stories and thinking that you should have played on the extended server on Brown's accounts. Maybe silver. Just to make you rethink how you play. Right now, you are very comfortable. You know exactly what you need and when you'll need it and how to get it. But playing on a bronze or silver account, you would be very uncomfortable and have to adjust your thinking a lot. Also, I think you are power leveling a little bit. I started the character in New Hallis, and I'm at the Ghosts before Hallis, and I'm maybe level 15. I'm not sure how you ended up getting to 25 in 9 hours. My main isn't even 25 yet, although she is a 30-plus tailor. I chose tailoring because I needed bigger bags. Without the broker, you just can't buy and sell whatever, again adding another element. My noob experience has been completely different from yours, and I thought I'd share my thoughts. Please forgive the choppiness of my writing. I had a lot of talking points but didn't want to write a book. I have more to tell about the noob EQ2 experience if you're interested. Good hunting. From the Freeport server, Sprouts, the half-elf Swashy, and Savu, the human inquisitor.
I love this letter.
Is it great? Yeah.
Awesome.
He has a lot of good things to say. I do agree that, yes, we may have been power leveling a little bit because we do have, or at least I have, level 92s that I can take advantage of the XP bonus. So we are getting some of that. And I did want to say, I think it's kind of interesting that they suggested maybe we should have played on the Freeport server.
Yeah.
Yes, it is evil, of course, and I say that in air quotes. But it would have been certainly more of a challenge for us because we wouldn't have the free access to all the things we have today, like brokers and how much coin we can carry and items and what stuff we can equip and challenges like that. So certainly would have added a different dimension to our newbie experience.
Yeah, I like that he says right now you're very comfortable. He's absolutely right. We do know what we need. We know where to get it. I think part of the issue, though, is I don't know about you. I didn't really want to invest time in a character that I was probably going to end up abandoning because my friends are all on Unrest. So I can't picture just having a tune on another server, even if it's free. I don't think I'd want to spend my playtime there because a lot of my real life friends and game friends that I've made over the years that I've been playing are on Unrest. So, I mean, and I do feel like this is a character that I will probably bring out at some point in the future and use in the future, if nothing else, for a backup trade skiller. so, you know, I didn't want to have it on a different server. But, you know, that certainly would have been a more, you know, a better experiment. We're not doing a research project here that requires, you know, exactly the right setup here. So,
right, and we weren't going to create throwaway tunes. They are going to become part of our tune families and be part of the accounts that we have. So that's why we probably created them on the Unrest servers because we, you know, once we get to 90, we're not going to toss them away. We very well might use them or continue to play with them if we do have fun playing these classes.
Right.
I think you had the next one.
This one is from Sundried on the Crushbone server. I love the name, by the way. Sundried Tomato Froglock. Very cute. Hiya. First off, very good show. I've returned to EQ2 since launch recently and rolled up a completely new character. I started in Frostfang C. Though I'm an experienced MMO player, I consider myself a noob in the sense that I never played any of the expansions. Being noobish, I explore everything. I easily located a secret passage into New Hallis by the Falling Rocks area. I was able to do my trade skills and house setup a lot earlier. The progression worked for me. I also got my girlfriend to play. It was the first MMO game ever, and she discovered the early passage to New Hallis also. Just figured I would give a new perspective of Frostfang Sea. From Sundried Tomato. You know, it's funny that this listener brings that up because I, on Allie, when she went back to do those quests when they first came in, when Hallis first came in, did not find that passage until after I was done with everything.
I have to say Delmon was the same way. I didn't find it till I was in New Hallis. I had gone all the way kind of around Frostfang Sea and finally got into New Hallis. I got lost in New Hallis, was trying to find my way out of it, and I think that's how I went down the wrong pathway. I thought that was the way out.
Yeah, I think that may be why I found it as well. And I found the trade skill area the same way by getting lost. So I think that's a good point to bring up. If we were true new players, we might be. And I am the kind of person who goes around the zone to the right, around the edges before I do anything. That's what I used to do anyway. So I probably would have found that if I were a true new player. So good point.
Let me ask you this quickly. Back in the day, maps used to be grayed over. Are they still grayed over now, or do we automatically have them all, don't we?
I think we do automatically have them. I don't think there's the shroud by default. I think you might be able to put it up.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't really looked.
I remember a long time ago on Newbie Island, running around to get to all those nooks and crannies to remove that shroud, to unshroud it. So I think now that we don't have that, I'm less likely to do some of that thing. So maybe that's something we've lost over time, is that crawling around the edge of every zone looking for any hooks or caves or stuff like that or secret passageways because we just see the whole map right off the bat.
Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only OCD person who has to reveal every area of their map.
Absolutely. I do it too. I've done it since Might and Magic days back on the Apple IIe.
Hmm.
Is this old school for you? All right, next email. This was from Metcroft, the Metromancer. I think he meant Metromancer. Oh, that's his full name. I'm sorry. I thought that was his class. Metcroft, the Metromancer. He is a 77 Necro on Crushbone. Hey, guys, big shout-out from Metcroft, level 64. Well, wait a minute. Now here he's lying to me.
No, Metcroft is the 64 Warlock. Metromancer is the 77 Necro.
Oh, okay. All right. I should read these more carefully, huh?
Yes.
Big shout-out from Metcroft, level 64 Warlock on the Crushbone server. I found out that Delmon started a new cast from the folks over on a View from the Top podcast. Glad to see you are back on the air, Delmon. Can't wait to dig into all the episodes. Cheers. Thank you very much for the email. It's great to be back. And it's great to be doing a podcast again recently. We said earlier, having almost a month off. Good to hear from Metcroft. Hope you enjoy some of the past shows that you can get at eq2talk.com.
Nice plug there, Del.
I'm smooth like that.
Okay, and our last email is from Vordan on the Unrest server, who's actually in my guild, but we'll just leave that off. Maybe we can edit that part out. So I would start this email with the standard, I love your show, blah, 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 but I wouldn't want it to go to your head.
Too late.
Having a level 90 and a high 70s character, we both have woeful AA levels at the moment. I really wish that AAs and the XP slider had been around when I was lower level. As it was, I wanted to raid with friends, so I had a reason to level faster, but I can see a new player, this being confusing. But also adventure leveling faster than AAs come, it was eventually ending up with the high level lower AA character. Anyway, I was curious as to your and Delmon's opinions, suggestions, etc. on AA and leveling, and where to set your slider. Would you level lock at some point just to raise AA or not? So I think I'll start with that. For me, I think it really depends on what you spend your time doing. If you're one of those people who needs to keep up with Joneses or raid with friends, group with friends, like this listener says, that's going to take you in one direction. Or if you're doing more solo type play, I think you probably can mess around a little more and get your AAs earlier. For me, I did max XP. Reason being, I knew that my guild was going to be raiding in the new content pretty much when everybody was ready. So I wanted to get my XP up, and I figured AAs will come with time with name kills, and you can always go back and kill names with like throwback type raids or small groups or whatever if you mentor and that type of thing. But I think for the solo player, I think it might be a good thing to move your slider so that you're getting more AA than XP, because I think it might be a little tougher once you finally do level to get those AAs. I mean, you can only do quests once. And maybe if you're more of a solo player, getting those names isn't quite as easy. So I don't know. I think you have to sort of play around with it, but I wouldn't play around too much. I mean, you sort of need to figure out what's comfortable for you. If you move your slider a little too much, you can really kind of screw things up and not, it's hard to, like for me, When the expansion came out, I was kind of screwing around with my slider and trying to get more AAs early on. And then I ended up sort of getting way farther behind than I was expecting. So how's that for a non-answer?
I will give you a definitive answer, I think, at least from my point of view.
All right.
Pound my fist on my desk as I say it. Levels are always greater than AA. Levels are more important than AAs all the time. So it is my opinion, and this may harken back to my days from EQ where I believe I fostered this theory. Nobody do you see advertising saying, hi, I have a level 86 monk with 240 AAs. People aren't interested in that. They're interested in levels. They want top-level players. And AAs will come in time. I think levels are the most important thing and should be gotten first. Now, when you're soloing, that could be completely different because there are certain AAs that contribute to some of the spells that you have to leverage more often, such as your nukes or something like that, or your damage, where that might be more important. But I still stand by the levels are more important and AAs are easily gotten after the fact if you need to. They will come with time. So my opinion, I would never level lock. I don't think I would ever level lock a tune just so I could grind AAs and keep them close. I will get them later if I need be. I have to say, even right now on the Coercer, I have probably a stockpile of AAs, one, because I don't know what to do with them because I haven't read all the screens of what are the good AAs to take. So I maybe that's why we died last night, because I haven't been effectively taking AAs.
Maybe. Well, I actually have level locked in the past, but not for AAs. I've level locked for content because I didn't want to out-level the content. I think there are some people who don't need to be, you know, race to the end. I think that a lot of people don't want to race to the end. So I think that it depends on your play style, I guess.
I agree. And I did level lock as well because back in the day, you could out-level content. We did not have chrono-mentoring and that sort of stuff. So you could completely gray out a zone without even knowing it. Or, and Ellie, you and I both have talked about it, as being the hardcore quest type people that we are, there were a lot of quest drops that only dropped from green mobs back then. Actually, all quest drops only dropped from green mobs back then. So if you out-leveled something, you weren't going to get that quest starter. Yes, I level-locked myself so I could go through, like, Neck Forest and Thundering Steps, killing the same mobs over and over again, hoping for that 1 in 1,000 quest drop without leveling by killing them. Things have changed over that. Quest drops now drop from gray mobs, or for the most part they do. They don't always do. And you do have chrono mentoring, which can allow you to go back down. So I have level locked for content, or I will say this too, I have been level conscious when it comes to content. Say for City Writs, those count as quests. We want to get them. Some of them, once you bypass a certain level, you can't, even with chrono mentoring, you can't get them again because you have to be exactly that level to receive that writ. So yes, I have been very careful about doing that sort of stuff, but it wasn't driven by AAs. It was, as you say, Allie, driven by the access to certain content that I didn't want to miss out on.
But I think for people who are not in a rush to max level and just want to experience the content, that it might be perfectly comfortable to move your slider to max AA.
Yeah, and you
or
know,
to more to the AA end, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that, sure. Back in the day, I always said that there was no rush to get to level, to end game. Back then it was, what, level 50, then level 60. There was no rush to get to that because there was a smattering of everything to do at every level. There
right.
were raid mobs at every tier that you could do. Level 20, level 30, level 40 raid mobs that you could do as you leveled up. So if you were going along, you could be raiding, not at the end game. Things have changed over time where I think there is this desire to be at the end game because supposedly that's where it's fun, and I use that in air quotes. I used to argue, no, it's the journey is the fun. But I'm wondering over time if my thoughts of that have changed where, I don't know, is the journey as fun anymore?
Well, it's for you. It's all that matters is what's your point of view, because what's fun for you isn't necessarily fun for somebody else. And what's fun for somebody else isn't necessarily going to be true for you. So, I mean, there are people who actually enjoy the journey.
I agree. I enjoy the journey because it's interesting to see new mobs and new environments and that sort of stuff. But isn't it really, to some degree, the way the game is set up today? Isn't it just kill 10 rats over and over again?
That's not necessarily going to be true for everybody, Del. I mean, okay. You really cannot put your opinion of the way things are on everybody that plays the game.
Am I making sweeping generalizations?
You certainly are, and I'm gonna call you out on it.
Fair enough. And certainly these are my opinions. They're not the opinions of every player or the opinions of EQ2 Talk. Or my employer. But
or any former or future employer.
Right. So, but I just, you know, yeah, I always enjoyed that because I could raid along the way. There was exciting things to make and trade skilling because people were interested in weapons and that sort of stuff. Now it's just get to the end, so I'm kind of done with it. I feel that way. Maybe, I don't know if there are other players who feel like that, that the journey now is not as fun because I think to some degree maybe Sony has taken away some of that interesting stuff along the way and made it so that yeah, all the fun is at the end. They've gotten rid of the epic mobs. Nobody needs trade skilling along the way.
That's so untrue. And I really do believe that you are jaded. I believe that there is still fun along the way. You just don't – you've seen it already, so it's not enjoyable anymore. But when something is fresh and new and something you've never seen before, it is exciting. It is fun, even though – it's way beyond your level is way beyond the content. I mean, I think about it. There have been zones that we've gone into on, you know, Mentor Down that we didn't really spend any time in at level. And we've looked around and said, whoa, this is really awesome. Or encounters like the Dijin Master where, well, I don't know if I would necessarily classify that as quote unquote fun, but it was certainly challenging and it was certainly exciting to, as a one group effort, to try and figure this thing out.
Absolutely. Although I would argue too, to some degree though, that was because of the people we were with. We had fun because we were grouping, and I'm going to say too, our noob experience, I've done Butcher Block 4 times now with Toons. I actually have the evil monk is in Butcher Block doing those same exact quests right now, solo. I'll be honest, it's more fun doing it with you because I have somebody on the other end of the microphone to talk to and chat with or text text with. When I'm just doing, when the evil monk is doing, he's just going and killing 10 kobolds and running back. And he's going and getting 12 gorillas and he's running back.
I think there are layers though. And I'll just leave it at that. I think there are layers of experience that we may not necessarily see because we are not looking. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. And as I look at the clock, we have spent a considerable time on emails, although they were really good, and we certainly enjoy getting them, and hope folks continue to email us and share their thoughts about some of the things that we've been talking about.
Absolutely. We appreciate the emails and the feedback. Even if you disagree with us, sometimes that's more fun.
Absolutely, because if we all thought the same thing, this would be a pretty boring podcast. Or podcast. Or podcast, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
All right, our next topic, which was server mergers. Recently just announced, Sony is going to merge a bunch of the live servers on, I believe the date is November 16th.
That's when they're going to begin. That's when they're starting the mergers.
Oh, I see. Oh, so they're not all happening on one day?
Right.
Oh, okay.
It will take many weeks to get all the mergers completed, but they're starting on the 16th.
Okay, then I misunderstood that. I believe our server, Unrest Alley, is merging with Najina.
Yes. And I would like to say a warm welcome to all the Najina players.
I welcome our Najina overlords.
I welcome Najina. We are a fun server, man. It's fun.
Now, if any of you SOBs undercut me on the broker, I'll kill you. You touch my stuff, and I'll kill you.
Is that Stripes?
That's, knock it off, Francis.
Oh, all right.
So what's your, in all honesty, what's your honest opinion of this merger?
Okie dokie. My honest opinion, I could care less, to be honest.
Okay.
That's just my honest opinion. And that's just me. I'm one person. I've thought about it. And I think I don't perceive an issue with population because I'm in a very active guild. So I maybe am sheltered from a lot of the things going on in the server and maybe problems that people experience. I personally have never had a problem finding a group or things to do, but I also don't go looking too much. I can certainly empathize with the feeling of totally being being alone. That's not a good feeling in an MMO. that lonely crickets feeling. If there are people on Nagina who feel like they don't have enough people to play with, I think this is a good thing. I guess my opinion is, it doesn't affect me, but I can empathize for people who have experienced loneliness.
Here's my take. I'm incredibly nervous.
About what?
About this merger, because we have both, I think we've both been on Rest since day one. This is where I started, and this is the only place I've played. So I have as somebody said earlier, a comfort level. I am comfortable with the way Unrest is. I know who all the players are and who all the posers are.
Right.
And I know what I am at times. Now, okay, we are going to be merging with this whole other un-new environment. And the analogy I will make for this is it reminds me of junior high a lot, when all the junior highs merged into the high school. So you had all these separate cliques of very comfortable people who are comfortable with each other, now all kind of tossed into one melting pot together. So I'm a little uneasy about that. My comfort zone is changing. There's going to be new things in it. And I'll be honest, Dell does not deal well with change. So for me, it's a little bit of a little bit of butterflies. I, trust me, I'm not sitting in the corner in the fetal position crying about it, not to that degree. But I'm like, things are going to be different around here now. There's going to be new people on the broker. There's going to be new people in level channels, new people to LFG. There's going to be new guilds. There's going to be more competition for guilds. We were talking earlier about how our guild is finally getting some bodies into the raid, so we're back up to 24. I'm sure there are guilds on the Gina that as well who are struggling to fill their rosters. At first when I heard this, I'm like, this will be great. My guild's attendance problems will be completely solved. There'll be all these new free agents who are dying to raid, and we'll be able to fill our raids with all the perfect classes. And then I thought, wait a minute. I looked on Flames, and I saw all these Nagina servers advertising on the Unrest forums saying that they needed players. And then it dawned on me that, this isn't the smorgasbord of free players that I think it is. There's going to be competition now. You know, there's going to be a new pecking orders are going to have to be set up here. So that whole thing of we've been on Unrest now for 5-some-odd years, and we're comfortable with it. We've seen how it's grown, how it's peaked and valleyed, come up and come down, and who the major players are, and who are the good guilds, and who are the bad guilds. And I would buy from that person if you paid me to buy the item off them in broker, because I don't like them. I'm going to have a whole new notebook of people I'm going to have to maintain, of people who I don't like anymore.
Nice. That's nice, Del.
So
that's nice.
It's a little nerve-wracking to say that this is different. It's going to be different. It's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. It's going to be different.
Can I offer something?
Absolutely.
A perspective that might help. If you think about it, they, Nagina players,
yes,
are probably just like us Unrest players. And you could pretty much say this about any of the servers that are merging, because it's just people who play EQ2, right?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So they might have the same type of thing. They might have their own set of, these are people I don't like on the LFG channel. These are people I won't group with. These are people I won't buy from. These guys are always undercutting me on the broker, etc. So if you just merge them together, eventually everything, I think, will shake out the way it's meant to be. Some people may end up leaving their guild because they find another guild of one of the merged servers that actually fits with them better. But I think that's actually fine, because I think people who don't fit in somewhere end up moving on, and maybe now there's somewhere for them to move on to, if that makes sense. So it seems like, you know what, if there are just more options out there for people, for a guild, for example, maybe this exact raid schedule doesn't work for you, or maybe this exact mission statement of this guild doesn't work for you quite exactly right. It doesn't quite match up, but it's the closest you can get right now with who's on your server. Well, now, maybe after the merger, maybe there is another guild out there that is exactly what you're looking for, and you can find that home, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. I think options are always a great thing, and that's what this will provide, more options for players. So I think that is a very, very good thing. Again, what gets me a little nervous is that there's going to have to be some testing of the waters. There's going to be that an easy day one, yeah. You know, where you're kind of looking around going, who are all these other people? Hey, I've never met them before. You know, but type A personalities stick their hands out and shake, you know, the new guy's hands and welcome on board. Absolutely. It's just going to be, there's going to be this little bit of testing the water, balancing it out. And as you said, melting pot. This will all melt in together. Day one, it won't be perfect. It won't be like it was the day before. And that's a good thing. So I think there's a lot of new opportunity, and that I am excited about. There'll be more chances for LFG people. I think that's a very good thing. There'll be more people doing that sort of stuff. And I think there's, you know, looking at the list of server of guilds from Najina, there seem to be a little bit more who are a little further along in progression than there seem to be on the Unrest server in general. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure this will all work out over time.
It's not really hard to beat Unrest since we're kind of at the bottom of everything.
This is true. And
We're the slackerest guild out there, or server, rather.
Heck, we barely finished the Druid Ring, if you remember correctly.
I do remember. And I think only a handful of people were, you know, like really chugging along and pushing it forward. And I think we may have had a helping hand from SOE, but...
I think so. You're right, too. So I think this, in the long run, it will be good. It's just that initial few days of shaking everything out and getting used to the new guys. And yeah. I'm sure the same thing is going on over on the Gene as well, or any of the servers that are going to merge together. That sort of shakeout period is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there'll be new alignments, new alliances.
Well, and I think for solo players, I think when I was thinking about how this might affect different play styles, I think it's a positive thing for competitive people, like competitive raiding guilds or whatever, because the more, let's face it, the reason you are competitive is because you want to compete against other people. If there's no one to compete against, really, that's like one hand clapping, isn't it?
Yeah, you lose interest. You lose focus. Right. You lose the desire to do it.
More competition, good thing for competitive raiders. For raiding and casual guilds, for pickup groups and pickup raids, for times two pickups, whatever, I think that's all going to be a good thing because it's more population, more people to choose from. The only one that seemed like it might be a downside, might be a negative for those people would be maybe soloers, being that I'm thinking of, say, for example, you're working on a quest, whereas ordinarily you would just go and there's nobody around and you have full reign. You have a monopoly on bugbears or whatever it is you need to kill. Maybe now there are two or three other people doing the same thing and you have to coordinate spawns or updates or, you know, sort of share the space. So maybe that might be more difficult than usual. But the upside of that is you're now meeting new people. You know, maybe run into somebody who's doing the same thing you are and is like-minded, and maybe you find a new friend. Maybe you can group up together and do it together. And I think that making new friends is kind of a positive for everybody, for every play style.
Absolutely, and I agree. I think there are positive aspects for all play styles in this. I think, as you suggest, the one that might not have as much positive outcome might be the soloer. They're kind of still doing their own thing. But I think all the other play styles that you mentioned there, this is only good for them. There's only going to be more opportunities, and more opportunity is always a good thing.
Right.
And let me say, too, I have immediately, upon hearing this announcement, immediately checked EQ2 players to make sure that there was nobody else out there with a Delmon. And thankfully, there isn't.
I did that too. There
Who
was
didn't something... do that? Everybody did that, right?
Right. I did want to bring up a couple of things that seem to be people are hot under the collar about a bit on the forums. One of them is lag, or or the perceived influx of lag, the sort of freaking out about what will be. And that was sort of handled in a separate area, a separate thread. Basically, there was a post from Smokejumper saying, the hardware upgrade is not forthcoming immediately. However, when we merge the worlds, we are adding all of the machines from both worlds merged into that single world's available systems. This greatly reduces the load on any specific CPU and should do good things. We'll know more soon after doing the first test of this concept. And the databases have been upgraded already. This thread is only about server hardware specifically.
I think it's premature to complain about lag because we don't know what it's going to be like.
Right. I think there were people who have been through mergers before and said it's a nightmare. So everybody's freaking out about lag. But I think you're right. I think we shouldn't complain about things that haven't happened yet. Let's wait and see. My take is lag might happen, but let's hope that SOE will have that all figured out because they kind of maybe know what they're doing.
They're going to be metricing this from day one, from minute one. They're going to know when there are problems. And, you know, hopefully they can address, if they do arrive, they can address them as quickly as possible.
Right. The other thing is about player names. And I did actually want to bring this up because I think it's an interesting question of fairness, I guess.
Okay.
So the idea is if you have a character name on your server and somebody else has the same name on a server that's merging with you, the deal is whoever has logged in the last 60 days gets to keep the name. And if both characters have logged in the last 60 days, then it's a tiebreaker. The tie will be broken by your played time on that character. In other words, you do /played in game to see how many hours, days, minutes, whatever you have played. And if your played time is higher than the other person, you get to keep the name. The other person gets an X appended to their name. And if they beat you in time played, then you get an X appended to your name. There was a little debate raging on the forums. And I didn't really keep track of how many people were debating this. But there's in the one camp, people who think that's fair because a person who has logged, played this character more frequently deserves to keep the name more than somebody who doesn't play as much. That's one camp. The other camp is, well, I've had this character since day one because I reserved the name. I just simply haven't gotten around to playing it yet. I should get to keep the name because my account has supported SOE for longer than this other person over here. So I kind of wanted to ask what your take is on that.
The cop-out answer is no solution will be perfect. You're always going to upset somebody. If I had to, I think, prioritize how I think they should have done this whole kind of tie-breaking scheme, is I would have reduced last login time to 30 days.
Mm.
I would have then also included level.
What level? Adventure level?
How about some of all levels? Some of all levels.
Some people were suggesting level, and my first thought is what? Adventure level? Because I have 90 tradeskillers that are just as valid, if not more valid, as a level 24 or a level 90 assassin or whatever.
Right. So what I would suggest is sum them all. Take your adventure level, your trade skill level, your AAs, your tinkering, and your transmuting, and add those all together. You'd have to normalize tinkering and transmuting so that they were kind of divide them by five. Is it five? Yeah, divide them by five so that they're in terms of 1 to 90, so that they're normalized. Sum those all up. That's not the sole tiebreaker, but that is one of the tiebreakers that could be used in the equation. Time played, as you suggest, and create date. Create date, not account create date, but create date of that tune.
Okay, I have a comeback to that. It sounds really complicated. It doesn't sound like something that SOE could put out to all players and say, here's the formula to figure out who's going to win in this naming scenario, because then you'll have a million people sending in emails asking, well, am I going to lose my name or not? Because I can't figure out all the pieces to this formula because I don't know the other person's.
Well, no, what you could do is write a little applet. They could write a little applet that they run on EQ2 players, if EQ2 players is working, that says, do I get to keep my name? And uses their tie-breaking scheme to say, Unrest and Najina, in this case, Unrest and Najina are going together. You know, we'll read the database because they have all that sort of stuff in EQ2 players and calculate. You get to keep your name. As of this moment, no, you are going to be this.
Okay, that sounds really great. Mm-hmm. They could do that. But EQ2 players doesn't even work right, so...
Well, I'm suggesting that they need to get this stuff together and working, and EQ2 players is free, and we're getting to see what happens when you get something for free,
right,
how it's maintained. So you're right. They could either spell it all out in an email and just say, here are the rules, read them and understand them, or create a little breakdown of a little applet that will tell you the answer to that question.
Okay, well, all that aside, I was actually, I think we should just deal with what is.
Yep.
And what is these are the rules. Okay. Now, given those, what they have said, where do you fall on the spectrum of, I think played time should take precedence over account age, between that and I think account age should take precedence over played time?
I think played can be a futzed number. It can be an inaccurate representation because played is not really played. It's logged in.
Right. But given everything that we know, where do you fall on that spectrum? Because on the account age end have a very specific point of view.
I don't think that played is necessarily the best metric to use because it is so – it's not very representative of what it's meant to be.
But it is what it is, they're not doing your little applet.
No. Well, not even that. They're not doing the applet. They're not even doing all these additional tiebreaker rules.
So given what we have, which is played time or account age, which one would you pick if you were picking?
Account age or played time. I guess I would go with played then.
Because?
I think between those two metrics, that is more representative of this particular tune being quote-unquote used. I don't think it's fair that I bought EQ1 day one back in 2004, and tomorrow I create a tune called Bozo the Clown. I get to keep him because the other guy on Najina, for example, again, just because Unrest is using Najina, who created Bozo the Clown 4 months ago, but only started playing a year ago, gets to keep him.
Okay, let me throw one monkey wrench into that for
okay.
you. To post a couple of posts, and I'm going to quote people who posted on the forums. I hope nobody minds. I'm sure I'm not breaking any copyright here.
Okay.
To break a tie of 60-day login using gameplay time is not a good idea because it does not reward those whom have paid SOE much more than those who have not. When a game is released, many will buy the game at launch and try to get the names they wish. This is a perk for starting the game before others. To change the rules at such a late stage is simply wrong. Another person says, and here's a sentence that you will maybe change your mind. Reserving a name has always been something that SOE supported and even used as a perk when they were pushing their pre-orders.
I disagree. I disagree with that statement. Reserving a name is not a perk. What you're doing is you're creating a character. Whether or not you ever play that character is up to you. But you didn't reserve that name. I didn't file a copyright with SOE to have that name and pay $25 to keep that name permanently. So, no, I disagree with the way that person's interpreting it. Just creating a tune does not reserve you that name.
But if they're pushing pre-orders, do you take that as being able to create your tune before other people with this pre-order? Do you take that as a benefit? Do you take that as something that SOE has essentially sanctioned reserving names?
That's a hard one because you're talking about reserving. that those reservations occurred, if they, and I don't even remember if they did or they didn't, occurred somewhere 5+ years ago at this point, right? Back in 04, where you could, I think actually you could buy or purchase or whatever the character create screen. Now, I don't know if those locked those names in when you character created, so you can play around with the look and feel, the character creator tool. I disagree. I don't think this isn't a trademark.
It's not a trademark, but here's one person says,
or copyright or whatever. I don't know the exact legal term, but
the fact remains, I earned the right to have a shot at that name 6 years ago, and I pay to keep it there with my $15 a month. So this person has been paying, and essentially we have all been paying $15 a month for 6 years to keep that name. So my question to you is, does your $15 a month for 6 years mean more than your actual played time? And I think the answer has already been given, that SOE has gone with the played time.
That's correct. That's going to be their standard. So they're saying no. Here's the thing, though. What if there were two players who both bought Bozo the Clown through pre-order? Now what are you going to do?
Well, and really, you do have to go down to that. But I guess my question is, it was on the debate between account 8. And this is, creating an argument where they're... I'm sure there's lots of arguments out there on the forum.
Absolutely. So I guess what you're really boiling it down to is what do we individually think is more important, create mm-hmm. date or played time, mm-hmm. in a real simple point of view?
My personal feeling is played time, because I really don't, even though I've paid SOE a lot of money, I have chosen to use my time to play other characters. Okay, so I don't think I should personally have a right to keep the names of all my characters when I have chosen where to spend my playtime. My playtime has primarily gone to my main character, the Ranger. I don't get to have the same equal rights that my Ranger has on every single one of my tunes just because I've been paying money. That's just a transaction that happens off screen before you get to the game itself. When you're in the game itself, I think money isn't the factor anymore. It's invested time, at this personal opinion. If I would win on all my characters on my main account, but based on account age. But as a result of this played thing, I actually might lose on one of them. But I still feel that played time should take precedence. But in any case, it's just a name, and what's the big deal? So go on.
I think you've won me over. I agree with that. Played time, even though it can be futzed based on the old way that brokering used to work, and sometimes it's just the equivalent of standing around in Kinos Harbor all day, it does still show loyalty to that tune. So yes, I think played time, for the most part, and again, taking into consideration those two ways to kind of inflate the numbers, that shows loyalty and commitment to that player. So, yes, I do believe that's what should be used.
That character.
That character. Character, yes. Not account, but character.
Right. So, I mean, I think that they have to slice it some way. And they've picked one way. I think they picked the simplest and the most fair that
yes.
there's possible. There's no way you're going to... There's no way you're going to be able to slice this thing and hurt nobody. Period.
Correct. Somebody's going to have to get screwed in this, and they're going to be unhappy. But I will say this quickly, if I could. I am incredibly loyal to my name.
Yeah, if Allie had to change her name, I would be very sad. But yes. My alts, I guess, whatever.
Right, my alts I could care less about. To be honest, I didn't even check any of my alts. I did not even check them, because if their names did change, they might even actually look cooler with an X on the end of it. But if Delmon was to change, I think I would be devastated.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because then we're going to have to change the emails for the podcast. I ain't doing that.
Well, no, you get to – that. It's sort of like I would never change Allie's hairstyle. I love her the way she is. She's like a member of my family. She's me. To change her name, I think I would lose it.
I would too. I would have been crestfallen if I found out that Delmon was going to lose in that kind of tiebreaker scenario. And really, I probably would have shed a tear or two.
The forums are like a really great place to get some great quotes from people. There are so many people who get very upset about things. It's kind of fun. A lot of drama.
Okay, do we want to do Are You Smarter Than a Delmon now?
Yes, because I am smarter than a Delmon.
Yes, and we have new rules, I think. We're going to modify the game a little bit this week.
Well, maybe I just, a couple of things. We have a category from the last two times, left over from episode 6 and episode 4. So I think we're just going to just toss this one in the recycle bin because it's sort of old at this point and Del is probably not going to pick it anyway.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm giving you one category.
All right.
And basically, it's not really new rules per se, but I'm not giving you separate. Okay, let's just tell you what it is. Your category is, who am I? And I'm going to give you three things.
Okay.
And you have to, in order to win challenge mode, you have to get flawless on all three.
I've already decided I'm going challenge mode.
Okay. Normal mode would be you just have to get flawless on one of the three.
Okay. I'm feeling confident this month. So I want to go challenge mode. We haven't done this in a while, and I feel confident.
Okay. Okay. Number one. Do you know how to play Who Am I? First of all?
Well, you're going to tell me somebody and I have to say who they are? Is that?
Yeah, I am somebody.
Oh, you're going to describe like kind of like a $10,000 pyramid.
Hopefully you'll get it.
Fair enough.
It's kind of like that. Okay, number one. I am a powerful mage, a dark elf sorceress. Legend has it that I once made a pact with Lord Nagafin. To escape the fetters of my original home, I faked my own death, a supposed shipwreck upon the Ocean of Tears. Only the truly loyal know of my secret elemental research. Who am I?
I'm going to say you are Najeena.
Wow. First pull. Nice, Del.
Cha-ching. Open that exquisite.
And it's a patch of rough turtle skin.
No.
All right. I'm really impressed.
Thank you. I'm hot.
What gave it away?
The elemental. It was the elemental that gave it away.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Cool.
If I could say what I leaned on was Ward of Elements. That was my. That's what helped me.
I'm really impressed. I have hope then. I have hope. A little worried about number two.
Okay, second round of ads. Here we go.
Number two. I seek refuge in my private sanctuary, inspelled to perfectly recreate my life before the curse took me. I am the creator of Drachnids. I am older than the ages. I am the master. Who am I?
All right, the only clue I think that's in there that's really going to help me is Drachnids. You know, big old, all the huge NPCs, they're all old, they're all from the ages of time. Who created the Drachnids? I don't know. This is like a wild shot in the dark. I'm going to say Varsoon.
Are you guessing here? Guessing is a bad thing.
I am kind of guessing because...
That's like sending a ranger in to pull... The named.
I know.
Bad idea. Let me put one word back in just to help you out here.
Okay.
Since you haven't, you just were so clean on the first one.
Yes.
I'm going to put one word back in that I took out because I thought it would make things too easy.
Okay.
But looking at this the day after, I feel like I should have left it in.
Okay.
I seek refuge in my private sanctuary, it's spelled to perfectly recreate my life before the vampiric curse took me.
Vampiric curse took you. So, oh, all right. I'm gonna say Mayong Mistmore.
Woohoo! You got it. Awesome.
Thank you.
I'm very excited.
I am too, because I haven't done very well recently.
Awesome. Now, that one was really hard to do because very little is known about Mayong Mistmore. But man, I'll tell you, you could stay up late reading those lore forums. There's some fun stuff in there.
Yeah, I do enjoy the lore, and I think maybe that's why I'm doing pretty well on this round, because I do like the stories. I'm not in depth as some other players out there are. There are folks who really know this stuff.
Yeah.
Dead cold. I like to know why I'm doing things, or why this dragon is sending me here, or why I have to do this type of non-kill 10 rats type quest. Why am I trying to get this sword back? That turns out it's not really the sword I thought it was type of thing. So mm-hmm. I enjoy that. So, okay, is there one more? I'm very
yes,
excited.
There is one more. Number 3. I am a noble creature with great patience. I was entrusted with guarding part of the essence of he who told of the return of the 9. I have now been released from my service in Norath, but my spirit remains, so my secrets may be discovered by others. Who am I?
Wow. Okay. I do not know off the top of my head. I don't know who the 9 are. Clearly, they're not the Fellowship of the Ring. Don't know who was entrusted to keep secrets like that, or the essence.
Would it help you if I told you who told the Return of the 9 is? Because that was another one I took out, the name.
Maybe.
Okay, if I read it this way. I was entrusted with guarding part of the essence of, I hope I don't butcher this, Zabuxaruk.
Okay. You know, I'll tell you who my first guess was, and it probably sounds horrendous. My first guess was actually going to be Holly Windstalker, but that's like sounds like so far off the path right now.
Remember the first line: "I am a noble creature with great patience."
Noble creatures makes me think of dragons with great patience. Things that live forever.
Oh,
things that live forever. I don't.
Mm.
Am I on the right path with dragon?
You are 1,000,000% right, and the great patience part.
I guess my first guess, if it's going to be a dragon, I was thinking Sage of Ages, which turns out to be Darathar, isn't it? But I don't. The 9, is that the Ring of Scale, or let's say Darathar? I guess I got no other guess. I'm going to go with him, Darathar. Did I die on the final poll?
You did.
Oh.
That was a hard one.
Okay.
The 9 are actually the gods.
Okay.
A noble creature with great patience.
Still drawing a blank.
You were right on with dragon, but a dragon that lives a long time. Can you picture a turtle dragon?
Sheldrake the turtle dragon?
Yep. Reading the lore of that one, I am somehow strangely reminded of the movie The Fifth Element.
Gotta say, never saw it.
Oh, Del. You know, your list of movies you must see is growing.
Hell,
you gotta
just saw,
add that one.
What did I tell you? I just saw the other night, Jerry Maguire for the first time.
Right, and 300 you hadn't seen before?
Hadn't seen that. Nope.
Oh, you're missing out. Anyway, if anyone else feels like Sheldrake mirrors the alien creatures from Fifth Element, please send me an email at ali@eq2talk.com because I need to know if I'm way off base here.
That was the Fallen Dynasty expansion. I have to say, I don't remember a lot of that lore. I do remember the turtle dragon and the bird man.
Oh, I don't remember, quote-unquote, any lore. I have to research and look up. So I am very, very impressed that you got any of these. So applause to you, Del.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was a lot of fun. That was a good question. I like those. Those were good.
Yeah. So I think that Who Am I might end up throwing in the future. I like that one.
Very cool.
So, and if anybody has any ideas for Who Am I, please send them to me. Just to me, not to Del. We don't want to ruin it. I am definitely open to suggestions. There's so many good stories out there, and maybe there are some that other people know of that might slip by me. So
even if they did mail it to me, I probably wouldn't remember it anyways. All right, do we have anything else for this episode 9 of EQ2 Talk?
I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Okay, so let's say thank you to everybody who listened in this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Let's give a big shout-out and thank you to our corporate sponsor, Boeing, Forever New Frontiers. Boeing.
Aaron. And a huge, huge thanks to all the listeners who wrote in, Indebuff, Sprouts, Sundried, Metcroft and Vordan. Thank you very much for the feedback and for listening. And anybody else who's listening, feel free, if you have something to say, to shoot us an email.
So for me, that would be delmon@eq2talk.com.
And I'm Allie@eq2talk.com.
And if you want to catch us in-game as well, for me, that would be eq2.unrest.delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N.
And I'm eq2.unrest.alicious, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
If we don't see you between now and then, have a happy and safe Halloween. And say trick-or-treat, Allie.
Trick-or-treat, Allie.